Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply. Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Is it really that time of the week again? Again? I feel like I just left here. How did I get back here? Actually, I could have hiked here in the 8 hours that I spent in the Catskill Mountains on Saturday. I survived. I survived. My hiking partner survived. And it was one of the most physically demanding yet exhilarating experiences of my life. And I am excited to share it with you, though I don't know if I'll get to the whole story tonight just because football takes priority over me, over pretty much anything else in the sports world when it comes to a Sunday night into a Monday. So if you didn't see my tweet about this weekend's hike or my post on our Facebook page, you can certainly find them there. I've got a lot of pictures, some that I am excited to share with you. And there's a great story to go along with Saturday. And I really appreciate all of you who reached out to me to encourage me or to give me props and congratulations once I made it out of the Catskills alive and in one piece. Although I do have a knot on the back of my head, but that's a story that I'll get to. it was awesome. Absolutely awesome day. Didn't have cell phone service most of the day, which was even better because other than taking pictures, I wasn't reliant at all on my phone and wasn't really able to communicate with anybody except for my hiking partner, the mountains, and of course the other people that we came across, though there weren't very many. So wonderful day. Can't wait for the next time. And actually, I'm not limping. I think it's the hiking boots because this is the first time I've ever done a strenuous climb in boots as opposed to sneakers. It was time. So I've discovered that it's probably having the right footwear that keeps you from being hobbled for 3-4 days after a hike like this. Anyway, thanks again. You guys are awesome. And I also appreciate the fact that so many of you sent birthday wishes to my mom. She celebrated a milestone birthday on Sunday. We did the family vacation in August to be all together and to share that time with her. But her actual birthday is Sunday. And I hated that I couldn't be there with her. I thought about surprising her. It just wasn't possible this year. And apparently my gift is going to get there at Thanksgiving. Because I don't know how many other people have struggled with the post office lately, and I know they're in a situation same as many other industries where they're short-staffed and everything's an emergency. But I sent my mom's gift priority on Wednesday. According to the tracking number, it hasn't even left my local post office yet. Good thing I paid for priority. So I sent it on Wednesday, and it's still in the same building. Unless tracking is horribly wrong. So now it's become a joke with Mom and I to see how long it takes for her birthday present to get there. Maybe it'll be an early Christmas present. Anyway, you can understand why people use Amazon and other shipping services because at least you know your goods will get there when they're supposed to get there. But it's all right. Mom still loves me and she had cheesecake as her dessert. This is really funny. On Sunday, her husband didn't think ahead and Mike didn't have a dessert. So I said to him, you need to go out and get something. He went to the Dollar General and got a frozen cheesecake. But Mom said it was really good. So she loves cheesecake. Anyway, if you missed the photo that I put up to celebrate my mom, there was a tweet, A-Law Radio. You can see how beautiful she is. She definitely does not look her age, whatever her age is supposed to look like. I'm really proud that she is my mama. And here I'll retweet it so that people can see it. I didn't put it on my Facebook page because it's on my actual personal Facebook page. And I didn't feel the need to flood Facebook with pictures of Mama. Anyway, it is on Twitter, A-Law Radio, and also on our Facebook page. You can weigh in about week 7 in the NFL. Man, just when you think you know, you don't know nothing. We're live from the Rocket Mortgage Studios. Do you need to know what it takes for a home to fit your budget and your family? Rocket can. The Cincinnati Bengals would be the top seed in the AFC if the playoffs started today. Seriously. I know the playoffs don't start today, and we're not even through week number 7. We still have one more game to go on Monday night. But the Bengals are currently sitting in the top spot in the American Football Conference. This was as lopsided a win as you'll get in the AFC North. And think about the number of times the Bengals have been on the wrong side of that with the Ravens. Do you know in the Bengals franchise history, this is the largest margin of victory ever in a game against the Ravens? They have turned the corner in Cincinnati, baby. The Bengals, Joe Burrow, Zach Taylor, Ja'Marr Chase. I could go on and on about the weapons that they have. Joe Mixon, Samaje Perine, T. Higgins. The offensive line is playing a lot better. And the defense can hold its own. Ravens had an off week. Bengals capitalized, and they are now first place in their division and first place in the AFC. The Tennessee Titans are also 5-2, as are the Raiders. Back-to-back wins since Rich Bisaccia took over when John Gruden resigned. The Chargers are 4-2, so the two losses, though they are off this week. And the Buffalo Bills also on a bye. But those two teams in the AFC also sitting on two losses. Those are the best records in the AFC. 5-2. Same record as the Ravens, Bengals, Raiders, Titans. So you have the Ravens coming back to the pack. We know the Bills lost to the Titans last Monday, so they took a step back. Raiders have now moved ahead of the Chargers because the Chargers had a rough game last week against Baltimore. And so it's all jumbled together. It's all jumbled together. And the Chiefs, I don't want to say they're nowhere to be found, but Kansas City has the same record as the Patriots, the Broncos, and the Colts. So what you thought you knew about the AFC, think again, baby. Think again. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio. In the NFC, we've got the front runners. We've got the best teams in terms of record. And in the NFL, you are what your record says you are. Cardinals, woo, catapulted me to week 8 in Survivor Pool. On Survivor Island, I am still alive. I'm running out of water. Somebody send me some snacks. I need some lime chips. I need some gummy bears. Chocolate probably wouldn't last long. It's getting lonely out here on Survivor Island. There's not many of us left. We'll get a full report once we get through Monday Night Football. But thank you, Arizona Cardinals. I know it was meant for me personally. Slow start against Houston, but then afterburners, baby, afterburners. And the Cardinals remain the only team with no losses so far in the NFL. Cliff Kingsbury returning, though he said he felt very disconnected and that it was awkward for him once he was back on the sidelines after his COVID stint. And I don't think he got cleared until about 48 hours ago, inside the last 48 hours. You can imagine he was playing a lot of catch up, even as much as he was trying to stay connected from home over Zoom. Even as the Cardinals move to 7-0 in that same division, the Rams are now 6-1. But this was a competitive game against Detroit today. I was going to laugh so hard. Tears running down my face, stomach hurts type of laughing if the Lions pulled off this victory over the Rams. And for a while there, they caught the Rams off guard. in Los Angeles. Matthew Stafford, Jared Goff facing their former teams. Rams ultimately moved to 6-1 because there were back-to-back interceptions late in the game. But the critical one was Jared Goff throwing a ball that he was trying to squeeze into a tight space. It got tipped and picked by Jalen Ramsey. Happy birthday to Jalen Ramsey and to my mom. And so the Cardinals and the Rams are setting the pace in the NFC West. Rams 6-1, Buccaneers 6-1, Packers 6-1. They have won 6 games consecutively. And the Cowboys, they've got the bye week, but they are 5-1. So the NFC is a little more top heavy than what we get in the AFC, but I'm not sure that surprises anyone. We still have Saints and Seahawks coming up on Monday night. And then week 7 will be in the books. We are inching ever closer to the midway point of the NFL season. So there's a lot to sift through. Before we get started on Sunday Night Football, as the Colts stay in a groove and get back to 500, and the Niners start fast but limp to the end of this game in what was beautiful weather in the Bay Area. I mean, beautiful if you're a turtle or... beautiful if you are a duck. Exactly. Very good. Producer James coming up with another animal. The Niners and the Seahawks now are fading. So this NFC West that appeared to be so stacked to start the season, there's a lot of separation now between the top and the bottom, and injuries obviously do that. So we'll get to Sunday Night Football here coming up. But congratulations to the Astros and the Braves to... stories from opposite ends of the spectrum in the baseball world. Whether or not you despise the Astros and would like to claim that they're still cheating in 2021, you can at least understand what a World Series win would mean for Dusty Baker. He's a baseball lifer. He's been to this place before. He's changed the culture and given the Astros credibility again. It's only 5 guys remaining from that team that won in 2017 where they were stealing signs and banging on trash cans. This is Dusty Baker's group now. He earned the job there. He earned the right to stay in Houston. And while the Braves as a franchise and Freddie Freeman are certainly sentimental favorites, you can understand why the baseball world would be thrilled to see Dusty Baker finally stand at the pinnacle of a game that he's devoted so much time and energy to in his life. A game for which he still has a hunger and passion, even at his age. And so congratulations to the Astros. 3rd World Series in 5 years. Of course, the only title they have is that victory in 2017. And then congratulations to the Braves. To Freddie Freeman. 12 years in Atlanta. The reigning NL MVP finally gets a shot to perform on the game's biggest stage, the Fall Classic, which begins on Tuesday. And we'll do a little more baseball. We'll let you hear from the Braves, the Astros, the final calls of those series. I was so tired on Saturday night that I couldn't even bring myself to tweet. But man, what a massive home run for Eddie Rosario, which was really the big blow for the Braves in dethroning the Dodgers. And the way the pitching moves worked out and... oh, gosh, it was really impressive to see the Braves take everything that they'd gone through in the last couple of years and use that, draw on that experience, the veteran leadership, and, of course, the tenacity of having had to fight all the way to get to this point. So going to be a fun World Series. Love them or hate them, the Astros are back, and the Braves finally return to baseball's biggest stage. So we'll do a little more baseball later on, but a little bit on Sunday Night Football. The Niners had so much promise to start the season, and I remember talking about how if Trey Lance was your rookie starter, well, then you weren't going to be a Super Bowl contender. They needed the veteran leadership of Jimmy Garoppolo, the steadiness. He needed to stay healthy. Well, Garoppolo was back following the Niners' bye week, and Lance himself, Trey Lance, is now banged up a little bit. The problem is so many other guys are hurt for the Niners. Your one big and this includes most of their running backs, right? Your one big weapon on offense is Deebo Samuel. And then who else do you have? And he had a great game, but who else do you have then to try to make plays? Who else draws the attention away? Elijah Mitchell's had a couple of good games. There's just Brandon Ayuk had such an awesome freshman season, but is definitely dealing with some sophomore something or other. Some sophomore something. That's your alliteration. The San Francisco 49ers are fading, and injuries are a part of it, but they don't tell the whole story. And every team's dealing with injuries. They've got to figure out a way to turn this ship around. And it looked promising when they started up 9-0 after an opening touchdown against the Colts. Then Jonathan Taylor has a fumble, and the Niners are able to score again. They really put themselves in a good position initially. Now, the Colts have been playing good football, and so they collected themselves, they rallied, and it was a fight to the end. But as I watch the Niners play, I'm thinking, gosh, it's kind of a one-man band, a one-and-a-half-man band. And as much as you could blame Jimmy Garoppolo for everything, which is certainly something I've seen on social media, it's not just on Garoppolo. It's funny because the narrative with Daniel Jones and the New York Giants is often, who does he have around him? And for heaven's sakes, he had to make his own one-handed grab on their right sideline today with a pass from Dante Pettis, right? He's actually catching passes now because the Giants have been so stripped by injuries. The Niners aren't quite in that same position, but man, it's pretty close. And so I feel for them, feel for Kyle Shanahan. You wonder if the season continues to go the way that it is, what kind of changes might be in store in the offseason, though that is a ways down the road. So after the break, we'll look at it from the Colts and the Niners' perspective. A lot of turnovers in that wonderfully wet weather in the Bay Area to wrap up a full slate on Sunday night. My goodness. It was a weird day, right? The Chiefs never even got on the field with the Titans. The Bucs keep rolling as defending champs with a big moment for Tom Brady. Isn't every week like that? There's what, one or two close games? A lot of them were blowouts on Sunday, which was odd. Oh, and Bill Belichick still hates the Jets. It's always personal. I think that's clear. So we're just getting started. I'd love to hear from you on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. Coming up at the top of next hour from the Bay Area, Matt Taylor, the play-by-play voice of the Colts on their radio network. So we'll get his perspective, but there's a lot to do between now and then. Glad to have you with us. Again, thanks for all your kind tweets and Facebook messages about Mom and also about the hike. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
Taylor in the backfield to the left of Wentz. Here's the snap. Wentz holds it out, and he throws it out to the left side. That's caught by Mo Alie-Cox, the tight end, and he strolls to the end zone. Touchdown, Colts. An 11-yard touchdown pass to Mo Alie-Cox off the play fake. And the Colts find the end zone down by three with 5:15 to go here in the first quarter. And the extra point coming up.
Wentz out of the gun. Taylor's his back to the right side. Now it's Wentz. Wentz keeps it and he scores. A touchdown for the quarterback. Spike job into the end zone by Carson Wentz. Touchdown. INDY. Colts lead. It's 13-12.
San Francisco has it in plus territory at the Colts 43-yard line. High snap for Garoppolo. Pass time. Launches a wobbler down the field, and it is picked off in the back end. Kari Willis. That might be the dagger. The Colts with a season-high 4 takeaways.
It's time to pull on the pads and hit somebody. On After Hours with Amy Lawrence, CBS Sports Radio.
From the Westwood One Radio Network, as I talk with my hands and smack the microphone stand, Ryan Radke on Sunday Night Football, and then Matt Taylor on Colts Radio, and he will join us just after the top of the hour from the Bay Area, Santa Clara, the site of Sunday Night Football between the Niners and the Colts. And initially, even though the Niners race out to a 9-0 lead and take advantage of a Jonathan Taylor fumble, there are plenty of fumbles to go around, and most of them on the Niners' side as the game progressed. Debo Samuel with a fumble, leaving Indy with a short field, and Carson Wentz has a one-yard touchdown run. And then second half, that theme, it's expanded on. 14 more points off San Francisco turnovers after the break, and ultimately the Niners cough up the rock four times with, get this, 122 penalty yards. Talk about making life really difficult for yourselves. Carson Wentz, he had a fumble himself, and so did Taylor, as I mentioned. So it wasn't as though the Colts were impervious to the weather, but they did capitalize on the Niners' mistakes more than what was the reverse. And ultimately, the Niners just don't have the weapons right now. It kind of feels like they're dealing with less than a full deck, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense. So Indy is up to 3-4 in the AFC South, and you take these victories in the weather. It could be the rain, it could be snow, it could be driving wind, it could be freezing cold. All of those things are part of football. It's football in the elements, and I actually think it challenges the team and forces them to be even more focused and disciplined and determined, take care of their business. And we're seeing that right now from the Indianapolis Colts after what was a pretty brutal start in the first month.
Great team win, right? Great team win in all three phases, great defensive effort. You know, causing the four turnovers, did a great job the whole game. You know, just felt a confidence from the guys really throughout. Even the times when we had struggles, right? This you play good teams, it's not always going to go smooth on every series. But even when we had struggles in any phase, just still felt a confidence. And then guys making plays at key time.
We said, hey, let's still be aggressive and not let the weather completely change who we are. We'd be smart, pick and choose our opportunities, but I really appreciate Coach still trusting us to call those plays and create some big plays that way.
Frank Reich stays so positive all the time, and I'm sure there are moments where he doubts or questions or wonders or gets frustrated or angry, but he's so good for Carson Wentz and for his locker room for that reason and many other reasons, of course. I'm happy for him. He's one of my favorite leaders in the NFL. Frank, I mean, and for Carson too, he looks more comfortable. Remember the game in which he had two sprained ankles? Two, not to mention the foot surgery that he had in the preseason. Quentin Nelson with the same injury. And by the way, Quentin was back on the offensive line for the first time on Sunday Night Football. And so I'm happy for these guys. I don't know where it goes from here. They're in the same division, obviously, as the Tennessee Titans and Derrick Henry and Ryan Tannehill and yada, yada, yada. But beyond the division leaders, and there's plenty of time if they continue to play well for them to catch up with the Titans, and they'll have another opportunity head to head with Tennessee. But considering that the bulk of the AFC is within a game or two of 500, and it feels like it's going to be that way for the bulk of the season, and we've seen this before with the AFC, the Colts are still right in this. Wentz playing great football now, three total touchdowns, two through the air, one, of course, on the ground. And this is exactly what the Colts and Frank Reich were looking for when they made the trade for him.
Carson made some plays down the field. Obviously, we had the big one to Pittman. But then I think we had three offensive PIs right on deep balls. Those don't count as yards, but those are real yards. Those are hidden yards. We talk about that a lot. So that's the advantage. You get a quarterback who trusts his receivers. We push the ball down the field, even in this rain, and we make big plays that way. So offensively, I was really happy with how we played there.
Indy is up to 3-4 in the AFC South. Meanwhile, the Niners have faded to 2-4. And after a hot start, They struggled the rest of the way offensively, except for a couple of plays here or there. But it was really one step forward, two steps back with not just the struggles on third down. They were one of 11, but also the turnovers. Gosh, they're enough to make you want to bang your head against the wall.
I think we came out hot the first quarter. I think avoided all those third downs on the first drive, from what I remember. Had the run game going and a few things off of and got the explosives. And for about two quarters after that, it felt like it was always three and out. We couldn't make the big play, whether it was on a pass or a run. And when we couldn't make the big play, it means you got to do well on third down. And I think you guys saw how that went.
The weather played a little bit of a role, started to pick up there a little bit. But we just didn't execute. I think just it was too many mistakes stacked on top of each other. You know, one guy would make a mistake here, one there. And that's just not, you can't do that and win football games consistently.
Jimmy Garoppolo returning after the bye week and after his kind of brief stint. He wasn't on the injured list, but on the sidelines. And it is better for the team. He's a better option all around than Trey Lance. They did not handle the weather well. They didn't take care of the football. And as I've talked about, other than Deebo Samuel, who else does he really have to throw to right now that's consistent and that he can count on? Not sure what's going on with Brandon Ayuk. It's kind of interesting to hear the post-game comments. I was driving into work at this point on Westwood One, and the same questions for them. This guy was supposed to be a superstar, a breakout. Remember last year I got yelled at because I talked about how the Niners didn't have enough weapons on offense, and people were screaming at me, what about Brandon Ayuk? They have everything they need. I mean, George Kittle on National Tight Ends Day. It's just, it seems like it's one issue after another for the Niners. And I do believe that they can turn it around. It's just such a tough ask in the NFC West. And it's a tough ask in the NFC overall. It's not too late. There is nothing about what we're seeing in the NFL that makes it too late. Even, believe it or not, even the Lions, and I'm not saying it's going to happen, but only that it could happen. The Lions could be a 500 team. I can't even say it with a straight face. They do fight. They compete, right? So there's still so much time in real estate. We haven't even gotten to the midway point of the NFL season yet. There's a lot of time for teams to get healthy and turn it around. I don't know. I just don't feel that same hope with the Niners. It's like I said, one step forward, two steps back. And a lot of their grief is self-induced. A lot of their issues they bring upon themselves. 855-212-4227. That's our toll-free line on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Also on our Facebook page. We're glad to have you. What's the bigger surprise? The Bengals or the Chiefs? If we're talking AFC, what's the bigger surprise, Bengals or Chiefs? And then in the NFC, is there a team that's kind of blowing you away right now that you didn't see coming? Whether it's the Cardinals, whether it's the Cowboys, and I know they're off this week, but we got to include them because they've won five straight after losing the opener to the Buccaneers. Thanks so much for hanging out with us. We are just getting started. Coming up, it was kind of weird post-game in Los Angeles. So much of the Detroit media wanted to hear from the Rams and Jared Goff, so they were off to the L.A. locker room and the L.A. interview space where the Rams reporter contingent wanted to hear from Jared Goff. And so it was, this was clearly designed by the NFL to boost the drama week 7. We've got Bengals Ravens. We've got Chiefs Titans. There's so much to get to. Yay. I love Sunday nights. They fly by, which is good because I'm a little bit pooped after Saturday. All I really wanted to do on Sunday, I could have napped all day. Really could have. Just about the time the games were kicking off, I thought, okay, now I'm sleepy. Of course, I couldn't, and the football kept me company. But man, Monday will be a great opportunity to recover. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
down on the 47. Drops back to throw. Lobs it. Far side. Ertz with the catch at the 30. Loose at the 20. Far side 15, 10, 5. Touchdown. Zach Ertz, 47 yards. Becomes the first player ever to have touchdown catches in consecutive games for two different teams.
Off the field, on the money, and after hours, it's time to talk football with Amy Lawrence.
The Arizona Cardinals remain the only team in the NFL that is unscathed in terms of losses. Now 7-0, and I felt like it was a pretty safe bet on Survivor Island to go with Arizona. So I did, though, in retrospect, the New England Patriots also would have been a really safe pick. And so I could have gone with them as well. It wouldn't have looked cute, quote unquote, in the aftermath. Dave Pasch on the Cardinals radio network. Zach Ertz, 47-yard touchdown. And don't quote me on this, but I actually thought I heard that it's the longest touchdown of his career. That seems odd. I could be wrong. But anyway, he's already making an impact with the Cardinals after getting traded from Philadelphia. And so for him to be able to step in and become yet another weapon for Kyler Murray, think about the pieces they've added. Was that a thumbs up on so it was correct, right? Nerd alert. Longest touchdown grab of the career or in the career of Zach Ertz, who of course is a Super Bowl champion with the Eagles. But if you think about the pieces that they've added in Arizona, of course, Kyler Murray, yes, he was the cornerstone, and he and Cliff Kingsbury came in together and are kind of grown up together on the job. But DeAndre Hopkins, A.J. Green, James Conner, Zach Ertz, J.J. Watt, even Chandler Jones going back a few years, they continue to collect playmakers, and it's obviously making a massive impact as they are the best team in the NFL. But to add a Zach Ertz at this point, when you're literally going into week number 7, right? So you've got nearly 2 months of the season behind you. If you're Kyler Murray, is this kind of an embarrassment of riches?
He was great. He had a quick week, but I mean, he learned it quick. I think we helped him out a lot, as far as signals and all that stuff, knowing where to be. He did well today and obviously scored today. So it was a good day for him.
Yeah, it was a good day all around, even though the Houston Texans jumped out to get this 5-0 lead. I actually saw our friend John McClain tweeting about how that was the exact same score that the Astros used to eliminate the Red Sox and get back to the World Series, which was kind of funny on his part. So the Arizona Cardinals, as I say, they start slow, but then they're able to pull away. And the number of weapons they've got, it's becoming such a huge factor week after week. And this is what Kyler Murray and the Cardinals needed. Now for Cliff Kingsbury, a little bit awkward, he said, a little uncomfortable to get back in after being away from the team for so long with the COVID protocols. But same thing, to have Zach Ertz is a luxury, an embarrassment of riches.
He works himself into it. He's a Stanford grad, so we knew he could handle the load mentally. But his, I didn't get to be there this week, but just listening to the guys talk about his professionalism, attention to detail, I mean, he was dialed in from the first day he was out there. And that is another weapon to work the middle of the field, big target. He had a nice day today. And he's a big target run down the middle of the field. He's a tough matchup for linebackers. And when you got some of the guys we got outside, it definitely helps.
I don't know why, maybe came out a little lax. I can't really speak on it. I just know got to be better, faster, because get beat. If you come out too slow, sometimes you may not be able to catch up. So for us, I know we're better than what we put out there today. We clicked for the most part, during the middle of that game. But I was like I said, they got after us today, so it wasn't. I don't want to take anything away from them. We obviously won by a large lead, but for the most part, offensively, I think, we can be a lot better.
Kyler Murray raising the bar for his team. As he points out, they fall into a hole, but recover relatively quickly. Yet another touchdown for James Conner. He has been Well, he's found new life there. It's been a fresh start for him, but he's also been such a stabilizing force for the run game for Arizona. And then Zach Ertz, 3 catches, 66 yards, and the score. DeAndre Hopkins on what was a beautifully designed play at the goal line. Christian Kirk with a touchdown as well. And ultimately, the Cardinals pull away and are sitting on top of the NFC West. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Second place in the West. Those Los Angeles Rams. And remember the last time out, maybe it wasn't the last time out, but they had struggled and had lost one of their games in the NFC West, right? So we're talking about a battle back and forth among these teams. And so they had lost to the Cardinals going back in week number 4. So it wasn't last time out. That was weird. It feels like it was last time out, but it was weeks ago. Since then, they won on the road at Seattle and then made the trip cross country to New York and beat the Giants. And then back home for what was this weird reunion of sorts for both locker rooms. Jared Goff with the Rams, and of course, Matthew Stafford with the Detroit Lions, the team that he spent most of his, well, he spent a decade with, he spent the most of his career with, but had asked to be traded out when they started to rebuild again with a new general manager, new coach, and you can understand why he's relieved now that this whole thing is behind him and behind them. So to begin the game in SoFi Stadium, there was a tribute video to Jared Goff, which is kind of fun. I mean, they did win a couple of division titles in addition to being able to get to the Super Bowl. And it was a good back and forth there in the Super Bowl. Defenses, remember, not offense, against the New England Patriots at the time. But the way that the Rams started in this game was kind of funny too, actually. I don't think it was an emotional deal. I don't think it was about Jared Goff being back or just, I don't know, they didn't play well to begin. And so that was clear. Meanwhile, Detroit starts out with this aggressive approach and they're hot and they're determined to catch LA off guard, which they actually do. So Jared Goff comes out on the first drive and throws a 63-yard touchdown pass to DeAndre Swift. Like, hello, welcome back to Los Angeles. Then the Tigers go for Tigers. Oh my gosh. I'm sorry. I don't know where that came from. Then the Lions go for an onside kick that they recover, and on their next drive, they pull off a successful fake on a fourth down. Jack Fox throwing for the third or the fourth down conversion, and it leads to another field goal. So at this point now, you recognize that the Lions are not messing around. And we have seen from them some flashes. They've just been unable to put together a full game. And so LA is kind of punched in the mouth initially, and the Rams have to, I think, mentally reset, but also recognize that this Lions team is not going to be a walkover. There are no such thing as cream puffs or cupcakes in the NFL, and if you don't take these games seriously, then you're in trouble. And so LA does kind of find some solid footing, grab the lead with back-to-back touchdown drives in the second quarter, but then they lose the lead in the third because they don't score. No points on the board at home at your space station of a stadium with the Lions on hand. So they go scoreless in the third. Then we see Cooper Kupp, who's just been, I mean, he's been great this season. We obviously know he's extremely versatile. He's very talented, and he and Matthew Stafford have come together very well and have developed a quick rapport. And so Cooper Kupp catches a second touchdown, and then we've got the Jared Goff interception in the end zone, picked off by his former teammate Jalen Ramsey on a tipped ball. And so that was really all she wrote. The final interception by Jared Goff, it really was kind of a moot point at that stage because they were down by 9. And so the fact that the Lions continue to fight and push is a big deal. I do believe they're going to have a breakthrough, but it was really funny that they smashed the Rams in the mouth and decided that they were going to give it everything they possibly could to go into this game. So now it's behind them. There was, as I say, a tribute video for Jared Goff, but there was also a hug with Sean McVay at midfield. And initially, McVay didn't want to share anything about what they said He did, though, kind of relent after a few questions by the media and just indicated that they would catch up later. So I'm sure for Jared Goff, there are a lot of emotions there. Desperately wanted the win, not just for the Lions, but for a little vindication against his former team and the one that kind of tossed him to the side. Meanwhile, for Matthew Stafford, also really emotional. He said he was relieved to have it behind him. So both stories for these two quarterbacks, kind of the focus, even as the Rams move to 6-1.
Got a lot of great friends. Got a lot of, you know, people that I care about that are on that team or from that city. And just glad to have this one over with. Can, you know, put the storylines away and just go out and play football the rest of the year.
Stafford is playing great football. We know that. He's really comfortable. And you can see his skills really underscored in an offense like the Rams. 28 of 41, 334 yards and 3 scores. And once again, a slower start, but they're able to pull away. Meanwhile, for Jared Goff, he knows this team is better than what the record indicates.
No, we're a lot better than our record shows. And ultimately in this league, that doesn't matter. You know, it really doesn't. I can say that as long as I want, but until we win some games, we can't really prove it. Definitely played better this week as a whole, and, you know, we had our chances. That's for sure. We had our chances to win that game and make some plays, and they made a couple more than we did.
We're hearing that a lot from Jared Goff, from Dan Campbell. We had our opportunities. We were right there in it. So disappointing. He definitely takes these losses to heart. It's not too late to turn things around. I remember saying this about the New York Jets last season, how badly they wanted a win. And no, they're not a great team. And in the case of the Lions, they had to start from rock bottom, starting over really at every critical position in the locker room and on the field. But I do believe they're going to have wins, and those wins are going to be such a huge confidence boost. We'll get back to the Colts and Niners next here after hours, CBS Sports Radio.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.